The late Jascha Heifetz was widely considered to be the greatest violinist of all time. He was born in Vilnius, Lithuania, and first lit a violin under his chin when he was just 3 years old. It was a tiny quarter-sized instrument his father had given him as a birthday present. Jascha Heifetz gave his first public performance at the age of six. He played Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto in E minor. In observance of the 100th anniversary of his birth, Naxos Records has just released a series of Heifetz's greatest orchestral recordings from the 1930s and 40s. It includes this performance of that Mendelssohn Violin Concerto. Jascha Heifetz enjoyed an unusually long recording career, beginning in 1917, continuing into the 1970s. Today, 13 years after his death, his performances of the Tchaikovsky, Brahms, and Mendelssohn violin concertos are still considered unsurpassed. Joining us to commemorate the centennial of Heifetz's birth is Martin Goldsmith, the former host of NPR's Performance Today, now director of classical music for XM Satellite Radio. Martin, thanks for being with us again.
Great to be with you again, Scott.
What were the qualities that made Jascha Heifetz extraordinary?
Well, there is an old joke, which I know appeals to you, Scott. It seems that at the circus, a couple of old guys were sitting next to each other, and at the height of the festivities, from one ring to the other, a cannon shot a fiddler out of the cannon, and as he flew across under the big top, he took out a violin and played a few notes, and one of them turns to the other and says, "Wow, what do you think of that?" And the other guy turns to the first gentleman and says, "Well, a Heifetz he ain't." Jascha Heifetz became the touchstone by which all other violinists of this century were measured. You heard that Mendelssohn concerto. Every note was not only in place, it was impeccably played, one note leading inexorably to the next. Everything just technically perfect. And it was that technical perfection, in addition to a certain amount of reserved Lithuanian soul that Heifetz brought to his playing, that for years and years and years set him above every other fiddler.
Well, let me ask you about that quality of reserve, because over the years there were a few critics who said that his mastery imparted a certain coldness.
He was such a good violinist that people at one point assumed that in order to be that technically perfect, he had to have some kind of machinery inside him tick-tocking away. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the difference between, say, one of those incredible French gardens like Versailles, mm-hmm. where every blade of grass is perfectly groomed and every tree is pruned to within an inch of its life. And then if you think of an English garden, which is also very formally laid out, but it's laid out in a more relaxed style with trees sort of bending over the backs of benches, and things were a little bit more informal. To a certain extent, Jascha Heifetz had that perfect Versailles garden quality to his playing, which, as I say, led some people to think it was so perfect that it couldn't be approached.
Mm-hmm. Was that fair?
It really depends on your taste. There are certain Heifetz recordings which, for me, are still the touchstone. I think his Sibelius violin concerto performance, his Tchaikovsky violin concerto performance are just so exquisite and so lyrical. I can't imagine anybody saying that this was played by a machine.
Did he have warmth as a human being to, let's say, with other musicians, with the audience?
He was apparently, I guess this is something, Scott, that contributed to his reputation as being something of a cold fish. He was married twice, went through two divorces. He didn't have a great deal of friends. He came to this country for the first time in 1917 when he made his debut on the West Coast. He fell in love with Los Angeles and bought himself eventually a mansion up in Beverly Hills, and he lived behind a barred gate by himself for a long time. There's the story that his accompanist for many years, a pianist by the name of Brooks Smith, was not allowed to call him anything but Mr. Heifetz throughout that entire two-decade relationship they had. So he could be somewhat cold. He was apparently a wonderful teacher, but he was wonderful from a technical standpoint. There wasn't a lot of warm and fuzzy with Jascha Heifetz and his students, though many of them say they learned a lot from him, kind of lived in terror of what he might say.
Mm-hmm. If you had to pick a signature piece by Jascha Heifetz, something that you feel, and perhaps even he felt, typified the best his gift could muster, what would that be?
I love the Tchaikovsky Concerto in any recording, but I think that Heifetz brings to it a combination of brilliance, again, that technical brilliance on one hand, and perhaps because, and I know this is a cliche, but because he was born in what was then Russia, because Tchaikovsky was a Russian composer, there seems to be a real affinity. Tchaikovsky is the most emotional of composers, and I think that to the degree that Heifetz was a little bit on the cool side, he warms up considerably standing in front of that warm Tchaikovsky fire, and he plays the concerto with his own brand of fire. It's thrilling.
What kind of impact has he had on other violinists, both those around at that time and those who've succeeded?
Well, he scared a lot of fiddlers when he first arrived because of that phenomenal technique. There's a story that when he first played as a very young man, he was on stage fiddling, and another violinist was in the audience and turned to a friend of his who was a pianist and said, is it me or is it warm in here? And the pianist said, not for pianists. He, from the very beginning, showed that he possessed this Olympian technique that made a lot of other fiddlers sweat. And as a result, a lot of fiddlers felt that they needed to play as well as he did to compete, to maintain their own reputations. There are those who say that the certain competition style of playing that has come into, shall we say, fashion in the last 30, 40 years is the result of technical perfection like that shown by Heifetz. And so you get this competition syndrome of musicians who know how to impress judges at competitions, but who may evolve in a way that is, in fact, what critics said about Heifetz, that it was all technique and no soul. Heifetz, I think, can disprove that theory, but there are some younger generation musicians who do sort of fail that test. Mm-hmm.
Such an exceptionally long recording career, almost 60 years. Can you discern a difference in his style, his performance over that time?
Well, that's another very interesting point, Scott. He had a recording career of about 60 years, and it is hard to discern that much difference between his very first recordings and the very last recording he ever made, which was actually at a live performance in 1972. There are those who say that he sprang full-grown from the head of Zeus. I mean, his technique was immaculate as a teenager and sort of stayed that way for the rest of his career.
I was a little bit surprised to learn that Heifetz apparently liked Gershwin.
Oh, yes, he liked Gershwin, and he made some wonderful arrangements of Gershwin songs for violin and piano. When he first began playing back in the teens and 20s, it was expected that you'd play a lot of short pieces. And Gershwin would often play encores of 3 and 4 and 5 minutes. And he decided it would be a great idea for his own purposes to arrange some of the great songs by George Gershwin. He did. Luckily, he made a number of recordings of them, and they're just fabulous. I mean, it's the great music of Gershwin interpreted by the greatest fiddler of the century.
Fresh, as opposed to uninformed opinion, is worth anything. That's not a cold fish.
Not at all. And you hate making these kinds of generalities, but you have George Gershovitz, his real name, right. And Yasha Heifetz, a couple of Russian Jews, you know, making music together. Maybe it works.
Yeah. Is there any violinist playing today, or let's say over the past 25 years, who approaches Heifetz in terms of being the definitive interpreter of the instrument?
For my money, back in the 70s and early 80s, Itzhak Perlman played with a lot more overt soul than Heifetz did. Today, there are lots and lots of wonderful violinists. The young man Gil Shaham, there's Midori, who is a wonderful violinist, Anna-Sophie Mutter, who was, like Heifetz, came to international prominence while still in her teens. There's another great Russian violinist named Maxim Vengerov, who is a young man who has a phenomenal technique as Heifetz did. Heifetz, however, and one of the reasons that his centennial is being marked all this year, Heifetz continues to cast a very, very long shadow. His technique, his long history as a violinist and as a recording artist, as a teacher, and as someone who has set this incredible technical standard is something that hasn't really been surpassed.
Mm-hmm. Martin, thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Martin Goldsmith is the former host of NPR's Performance Today. He is now the director of classical music for XM Satellite Radio.